Okay. Romans chapter 6. Last week we covered chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5. And so we're going to pick it up there. I expect to get to about verse 14 today. However, as J.C. O'Hare said, whenever somebody first gets saved, have them read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, 100 times. That's everything they need to know in 11 verses. So, as we've done the last several weeks, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, which of course always backs us up to Romans chapter 4, verse 24. The last phrase, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And I always encourage people in verse 9, underline now. In verse 11, now. We are now justified. In verse 9, verse 11, we have now received the atonement. This is the first place in your Bible you see we now have it. The book before this, Acts, when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 3, he kept saying, when you shall receive the atonement. It was a future event. When Peter was preaching in Acts 3, that atonement would be here at the second coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. That's when all of the kingdom church will receive the atonement. We, the church which is the body of Christ, Paul was the first one saved there in Acts chapter 9. Anybody that got saved by the gospel of Christ immediately is baptized into that church, which is his body, the body of Christ. We are justified now. We don't have to hold out to the end like the kingdom church. We have the atonement now. We don't have to hold out to the end and wait to the second coming. We get it now. We have all of those now. First place in the Bible, first time in time that is true. And the only time in time that is true is the dispensation of the gospel of Christ and the dispensation of the grace of Christ. You know, this overlaps this portion of the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. Okay, Acts 9 is when the gospel of Christ started. But we're in this dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, now this ends with the rapture of the church, the calling out of the body of Christ, as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, that's when this dispensation ends, and the next dispensation starts. It's called the seven-year period of wrath. That's great tribulation and wrath all combined into one. The period of great tribulation, the period of wrath. Yeah.
That's good. I think we need to trademark that word.
Wow. It's amazing. Anyway, okay, lost it already today. Usually doesn't take me long, does it? No comments from over here. Anyway, that seven-year period of wrath, seven-year period of great tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, many of the Old Testament prophets prophesy that seven-year period. Daniel chapter 9. All talking about, you know, 70th week of Daniel, Isaiah, so many of the prophets talked about this. But anyway, now it's back to the kingdom program. Now, at that point, it'll go back to what Peter was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. What Christ preached, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, they'll have to hold out to the end. They've got to earn their way into the kingdom. Okay? All right, so that being, Romans 5, verse 9 and verse 11. Now justified by his blood, now receiving the atonement. Okay, we don't have to, we get it right away at the moment of salvation. Not only that, but then we get to chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We grace believers get accused of that. Oh, you grace believers, you think you got a license to sin, as if we needed one, right? But he says, no, verse 2, God forbid. And he says it again, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Okay, he says this over and over. No, we don't have a license to sin. We just understand that we are justified. We are now justified. We've now received the atonement. Okay, and we're going to study this out today. So we got into this. And then verse 3, we talked about, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, yes, we were baptized. How do we get into his death and into his burial and into his resurrection? By baptism. Baptism's absolutely part of salvation. But it's which baptism, as we studied out last week. So if you're on the web watching this recording, absolutely, please stop, go back and read or watch last week's study, Romans 6, 1-4, or 1-5, I think it's listed. Because you need to see that baptism is being baptized by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not water baptism. And last week the whole study deals with that, so we're not going into that today. But yeah, the moment of salvation, you're baptized by the Spirit. And we're baptized into his death and into his burial and into his resurrection. But it's not water baptism that does that. It's baptism by the Spirit. And we studied that out big time last week. Okay, any questions on that? Make sure we're good and clear on that in this room. Those that are live for the video there. All right, so now picking up from where we left off. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. By the way, so baptism there in verse 3, 4, and even into 5. Baptism is identification. We're identified with Christ's crucifixion. We're identified with, we're buried with him in baptism. And we are resurrected with him. Okay, same way. Verse 5, so for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, and it's the first time you see that term used, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's going to be a lot of terms in here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, now Romans 6, if you look at some themes, in Romans chapter 6, the whole an overlying theme is we're freed from sin. Romans chapter 7, we're freed from the law. And Romans chapter 8, we're free from condemnation. Okay, so think about that as we get into the next several week studies here. Okay? And it's by the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ is how we're free from sin, free from the law, free from condemnation of sin. So knowing this, not thinking, verse 6, knowing this, okay, understand we are dead to sin, okay, that our old man is crucified with him. So back here at the cross 2,000 years ago, the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died, when he hung on that cross, how he died for
our sins according to the Scriptures, shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. He was buried, took those sins to hell, and on the third day God the Father raised Him for our justification, as we saw back there in Romans 5, verse 9, being now justified by His blood. When He shed His blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Okay? Took the shedding of blood. Okay? So in verse 6, knowing this, our old man is crucified with Him. Our old man, in order to put on a new man, like in Ephesians when we study that. Okay, we put on the new man, but the old man is crucified with Him. And that's how, the next phrase, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Think about it that way, serving sin. Wow. It's not that we should not. It doesn't say in there that henceforth we should not sin. It says henceforth we should not serve sin. What is our attitude? How are we approaching life? Okay? And there's a difference there because we are going to continue to sin. But we should not serve sin, nor should we ever think that we should just... Anyway, so that being the difference there. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay? A saved person, sin will not condemn a saved person. They were all... How many... Colossians 2:13. How many trespasses were forgiven back here?
All.
And all means all. It always has. It always will. Okay? Again, Colossians 2:13 would be your reference there. But we're dead to sin. Verse 6. So Galatians would be a book that... Great parallels. The book of Romans, especially these chapters we're in right now, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and the book of Galatians. Let's go to Galatians and chapter 2. So after Romans is Corinthians and Galatians. So again, Romans 6:6 was, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, so back to Romans 6 here. Just knowing this, our old man is crucified with Him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, see how those go together? So think of ourselves as being crucified already, as being in Christ, in His crucifixion. That's what being baptized by the Spirit did. It put us into His crucifixion. Into, being buried with Him by baptism. Okay? By the baptism by the Spirit. That being the big difference versus many common beliefs today. You've got to let the Scriptures prove it out. All right, back to Romans 6. So henceforth we should not serve sin. Not serve sin. Okay, come over to staying in Romans 6, verse 20. Let's actually start in verse 19. So Romans 6, 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. And here's the verse. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Okay, and if you back up now to verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Back to 20 again. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Let's come back in and look at Christ talking about this. John chapter 8. John chapter 8.
Watch how he words this here. John chapter 8, verse 34. Should be red letters if you have a red letter version. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Okay? But verse 34 at the end there, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And back here, Christ is warning them about being servants of sin. Now let's come back to Romans 6. Now we're going to jump into verse 16 of Romans 6. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Okay? So we become the servants of righteousness at the moment of salvation. Whenever you're getting into our righteousness, we always have to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In some of these verses, I know you hear them week in and week out. Probably a good reason for that. Romans 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There's your righteousness right now. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Are you righteous today? Well, if you have a testimony of salvation, the answer is absolutely yes. You are the righteousness of God in him. And if that doesn't make you want to stop serving sin, I don't know what will. To think about God Almighty giving us a gift like that of eternal life, why would we not want to honor that? Why would we not want to become the servants of righteousness? We have it. We have it. Okay? All right, back to Romans 6. As verse 7 says, "Now for he that is dead is freed from sin." Take that back to verse 2 of 6. You know, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Verse 7, "For he that is dead," I'm going to say in parentheses, "to sin, he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, of course, that's a future tense. We're not living with him today. We are living on this earth. He leaves us here to be ambassadors for Christ. If we were to back up one verse in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, verse 20, be ambassadors for Christ, sharing the good news, sharing the gospel of Christ with others. That's why he leaves us here. Okay? But there shall be a time in the future, right here. It's that event right there. 1 Thessalonians 4, where we shall live with him. And we shall be saved from wrath, as in back there in Romans 5 that we read. Was that verse 9? "Being now justified by his blood," Romans 5, 9. "Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." That wrath right there, we're saved from it. And we will be living with him from that time for eternity. Okay, verse 8 of chapter 6. "Now if we be dead with Christ," again back here, "if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." How many times can you kill somebody?
Just once.
Yeah, just once. Okay? And so it is here. Okay, he's already died once. Death hath no more dominion over him. You can't scare him with death because death hath no more dominion over him. For that in he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, okay, just like that, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, likewise, reckon, okay, lay to the charge of, get it settled, okay, reckon yourselves. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Understand, you're dead to sin. You're dead unto sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Okay, again, what are we serving? Okay, come over to Galatians 5. Here we are, we're in Romans 6. But come to Galatians 5. Once again, a lot of parallel. You know, Galatians, the first book Paul wrote that became Scripture. Romans, the first book that Paul wrote that shows up in your Bible as Scripture. Okay, so in a sense, are the first two books of significance in that respect. But in Galatians 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay? We've already crucified the old body, the old man. So leave them there. Now back to Romans 6. Picking it up there again in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Come to Titus. Titus chapter 2. One of the last books Paul wrote back here. Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Titus chapter 2, just before Hebrews. Verse 11 is a great one. Actually, grab the last of verse 10 there. The doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And we grab that one a lot, but watch the next verse. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? That's a commandment to us right here. Every one of us in this room, every one of us in the dispensation of the grace of God. This is a prison epistle, this book of Titus. Okay, verse 12 again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Wow, see, we are to be zealous of good works. There's our works. It's from our moment of salvation forward. As opposed to everything up until this guy Saul was saved in Acts chapter 9. Works were always part of salvation. Works were prior to salvation because you always had to endure to the end. As it will be in the future, starting in the trib. Works are part of salvation. Okay? You have to endure to the end. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he that shall endure to the end, the same, shall be saved. Okay, those are the two parts of the gospel of the kingdom. You see that in several passages back there in Matthew. As early as chapter 4, as late as chapter 24,
Okay, and several other times, Christ says that, and you'll see it in red letters. Okay, works were part of it. This is the only place where works have no part of obtaining salvation, but the moment you are saved, now your works count, but you don't, not for salvation, as a result of salvation. Colossians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, first of all, a prison epistle. Colossians chapter 3. This is talking about a saved person in the dispensation of the grace of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, ye saved people, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. That is a great verse right there. Talk about overlying principles, guiding principles. I think that's the word I was looking for. A guiding principle for our life today is that verse right there. Every day, if you really approach everything you do, the people I talk to, the friendships I have, the way I approach my job, the way I, you know, whatsoever you do, whatsoever pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? And whatsoever you do, here's your attitude. Do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Wow, the Lord sees everything we do. Do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, knowing, once again, not thinking, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Wow, there's your rewards. From the moment you're saved on, you start earning rewards, and there's nothing wrong with looking at it in that respect. These are rewards for eternity. Ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But, verse 25, he that doeth wrong, from the moment he's saved on now, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Now, yes, this is talking about saved people. There are people that go, whoa, wait a minute, he talks saying you can lose your salvation? No, in the dispensation of the grace of God, you cannot, because it is a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here is our works. We receive, so when we go out of here into eternity, we do receive rewards, and we do receive wrong for the wrong that we do. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. I think it maybe helps clarify it even just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, another book written to the church, which is the body of Christ. The role of works today, and people get real hung up on this. Some people get real hung up on this as to what is the role of works today. They have nothing to do with obtaining salvation. They have everything to do with the moment of salvation forward. But not for salvation anymore, for eternity, rewards, and receiving wrong, receiving for the wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Whoa. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We are laborers together with God. Those are some pretty good guiding philosophies right there. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, the gospel, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, okay, build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, and I'm making a big deal about pausing in there. We have three, there's six things listed. Three are purified by when put to fire, and three burn up when put to fire. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Here we are back to works now. They will be made manifest.
for the day, the judgment day of Christ. For the day, just lost my place. Okay, for the day.
13.
Thank you. There it is. For the day shall declare, because it shall, just making sure y'all are paying attention too.
Right.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's either unto glory or no glory. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Colossians 3, 23 and 4 there. If any man's work shall be burned, so the work was burned, he shall suffer loss. Colossians 3, 25. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay? So the works are what are being tried here. That's the key thing. The good works that we do, being good ambassadors for Christ, sharing the gospel of Christ with someone, giving them a little card. We had a great discussion at the Kingwood Bible study. Somebody was talking about a co-worker there that always comes in and always wants to talk about her particular Sunday morning meeting place and what and how holy they all are, and really get off on that and trying to get good enough. She keeps using that term, trying to get good enough. And one time the person in the study even said, if you died, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Well, I'm working on it. And she's like, so what do I say? Anyway, he said, if nothing else, if you don't know what to say, just put the www.butnow.org or .info, excuse me, www.butnow.info on a card and just give her that and say, go watch these. Again, you've got 14 years of Brother Moore's studies on there, and she can go there and listen and learn. And yes, we're going to get our videos on another page on there. Question.
Statement. That right there is the biggest crux that I see, because we know that for all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. But in churchisms, it's the works, helping your neighbor. You know, it's the secular works as opposed to the spiritual works. What are you doing to help get the word out there or lead somebody to salvation or whatever the case may be? And in churchisms, it's all seemingly about doing the secular good work.
Yes. Yep. Checking the box. If I go to church every Sunday, will I get... It's like at the end of... Wherever the end of my time on earth is here, whether this happens or whether I breathe my last breath and die. Most people approach it, so when that moment happens, the judgment day of Christ... my works, good works on this side, bad works on this side, which way does it tilt? And that's how I'll go to heaven, I'll go to hell. Right? That's how most people approach it. And if I go to church enough times, every time I go to church, I get one more this way. And every time I don't, it's one way that way. And if I help the old lady across the street, one more. Good works, right? Anyway, that is the way most people approach it. And like we were saying with the gal there at the study, you can say to her, how would you like to be... So you don't really know for sure. Or on a scale, 0% to 100%. How sure are you if you died tonight? How sure are you that you'd spend eternity with the Lord? If they give you anything other than 100%, even if they give you 99%, would you like it to be 100%?
99 is the same as 1.
99 is the same as 1. That's exactly right, which is a great point. There's no sitting the fence. I guess the analogy is a woman being pregnant. She can't be, or you either is or you ain't, right? There's no kind of pregnant. Okay.
Yeah, if you're working on it, then okay, you're not there. Would you like to be there?
Yes.
You know?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to know you can go to sleep tonight being 100% sure? Because if you're working on salvation, you're not. Because there's that moment where you just simply go from believing the words of the gospel to trusting in them for your salvation. Ephesians 1:13. And once you trust in them, you're saved, you're baptized by the Spirit into His death, into His burial, into His resurrection. You're baptized by the Spirit. Water has no part of this, as we discussed last week. You're saved, and most importantly, you are sealed, Ephesians 1:13. And Ephesians 4:30 says how long you're sealed until the day of redemption. Right there. Nothing we can do to gain our salvation. Nothing we can do to lose our salvation. So if so this is us walking along here. And so what's today? February 1st. If somebody were to get saved today, and this was the date of their birth, and either that happens or their, if their death was a day before that, a physical death, okay? But up until that, so up to here, works have no part in their life as far as eternity goes, because all sins were forgiven. The Lord doesn't eat. Basically, you're not held accountable for those. From the moment of February 1st forward until this day, the role of works here has to do with eternity with the Lord. Eternity with the Lord forever. I shouldn't have made a closed circle there, because that goes on forever. Eternity, and you'll receive reward, Colossians 3:23-24, for the good that you've done, for sharing the gospel with someone, bringing someone to Bible study, giving them a card with a website on there where they can hear the gospel preached. It's all about God our Savior would have all men, you quoted it, that 1 Timothy 2:4, God our Savior who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Okay, that's it. All things, all good works had to do with either helping someone be saved or coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, anytime we have an opportunity to do that and don't, those would be the things we suffer loss. Wow, you had an opportunity. Okay, you can all remember times in the past, maybe you had a chance to do something for a boss somewhere and you failed them. You just, that feeling of, man, I failed that person. Or your parents, or your spouse, or your, you know, anyway, you get the idea. Right? Or a coach, you know, man, I didn't do it right when I rounded the bases there and I got picked off. And you feel like you let the team down. You feel like you let the coach down. You're suffering loss there for your team. Just trying to, again, make some modern day analogies.
There's less people now that want to hear the truth.
I'm sorry?
There's less people now that want to hear that.
You know what? We were watching the news this morning, and it's amazing. So yes, first of all, very true. Thank you for pointing. For the tape, there's less people that want to hear the truth. Not only that, boy, are people getting vocal about just demonizing Christians, Christianity. Anybody who wants to talk about the Bible, I mean, they were showing all these things this morning. It's just unbelievable. The hatred. The hatred. Is there another word that you would use for what we were listening to?
Vile.
Vile hatred.
Well, I think a lot of those people are hypocrites. That's why. I mean, we have
no
friends that are so, they're like good, but yet the stuff that they comes out of their mouth,
I love the phrase, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It is. I wish I could take credit for it. I can't. But I'll repeat it many times because that's a great saying. How many people do you know that are so heavenly minded and hypocrites?
And that ties back into people trying to do good
works
that aren't edifying the Lord or leading people to Christ or
or doing actual spiritual good works. They think that they're, I say secular, but they're earthly works.
Yeah.
Helping the old lady across the street type mm-hmm. thing is giving them reward.
Go to Romans chapter 10. And this is exactly, this is just going to be a passage exactly what we're talking about here. Romans 10 verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Think about all those people that we're talking about here that have a zeal of God. Let's keep reading. But not according to knowledge. For they, think of those people in this context. For, you know, obviously this is a literal application to Israel times past. But make an application to those people trying to be good enough today. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, as in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and going about to establish their own righteousness. That phrase right there, underline it. And going about to establish their own righteousness. That describes religionity today. Trying to go about and establish their own righteousness, and you can't. You can't. It is impossible. And have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Right? That's a good passage to describe those doing that today that are so heavenly minded and they're no earthly good because they're hypocritical. They're especially by lost people. You know, they're viewed as hypocritical by lost people. They hinder the gospel of Christ. Timothy, there's a good verse about that. You know, just be careful. You know, you never want to do anything to hinder the gospel of Christ. And that's one of the things we should think about in our works too. Okay, yeah, this whole thing in Romans 6 now. You know, what then shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we don't show people grace. Hey, let me show you what I can. No. No, not at all. We can hinder the gospel of Christ. So our works can hinder somebody. But let's not be hypocritical. Okay? I'm just going to... You know where I was going there. Anyway. Okay. So back to our... Let me get my time here. Yeah. So back to our passage in Romans 6. You pick it up again in 11. I'm going to read 11 through 14 straight through, no commentary. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law? We are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And I'm going to end with Galatians 2:20 again. We did that early. Galatians 2:20 and 21, just two of those other great verses to commit to memory, much like Colossians 3:23. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Great way to sum up the whole passage there in Romans 6. Great one to commit to memory. Galatians 2:20 and 21. Colossians 3:20.